Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. This is The Reheat. I'm Joe Cook. We've got RT Young. If you're here, make sure that you like this video and subscribe to the channel. Helps us out. We'll be bringing it throughout spring ball and the offseason. And, of course, if you have not done so already, head to InsideTexas.com. You can get 4 months of plus access for just $1. Here we are at the end of March. That'll take you all the way to the end of July. You'll get recruiting intel. You'll get spring practice intel. You'll get official visit season info. You'll get decision info and, of course, some summer workouts as well. So now is a great time to join Inside Texas. 4 months for just $1. It's a deal that you cannot beat. Today, we'll go over some of the latest notes that we've heard from spring practices, including some great performances early by Parker Livingstone and Jelani McDonald. We'll take a look at the linebacker position, see that it's in good shape. We'll do a quick review of the Longhorns Pro Day, which was last week. And finally, Schadenfreude of the Week has a little personal flavor this time around. So let's get going. RT, we have a ton of stuff over on Inside Texas about spring practices. Three in the books as we record. I think they just finished number four here, actually early on Monday. Today was the first day of full pads, so that means you can only glean so much without the pads on. But at skill positions, you can get some good info, and there's been plenty of good info about Parker Livingstone of late.
Yeah, Joe, I have to ask this question. Parker Livingstone, Cooper Flagg, you got Timothy Chalamet. I'm wondering if white men are having a moment right now. It seems like that could be the case. No, in all seriousness, Parker Livingstone looked great at the media availability. We got to go to last week, Joe. We saw him, hook up with Arch Manning on a really impressive fade route in the corner of the end zone. They obviously have good chemistry going back from the fact that, they were both running on the second team last year. But I think, all the cliches are going to be thrown out about Parker Livingstone that typically get thrown out with white wide receivers that, this guy's, a coach on the field. He's a workhorse. But in reality, Parker Livingstone's an athletic freak. And his senior season, his stats were mind-boggling before he got injured. So he is a really exciting prospect. The fact that he will bring instant chemistry with Arch Manning, that's desperately needed because, this is an unproven wide receiver group. So if he's able to elevate the floor of what that room could be alongside DeAndre Moore Jr. and Ryan Wingo, it's really exciting because we desperately need Texas to have a three-man wide receiver rotation at least that they can count on, because Sark likes to ride those tight wide receiver rotations throughout the season.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned his athleticism because you look back, he ran sub 22, actually sub 21.75 in the 200 meter. Like, this is someone who definitely has some athleticism. And then I think during his senior year, he played baseball instead or tried to do it all. Like, this is someone who's got the fine motor skills and the athleticism to play wide receiver. And I'm encouraged by the fact that somebody is stepping up. One of the things that we've heard over at Inside Texas is that, Ryan Wingo is Ryan Wingo. You understand what you're getting with him. Of course, he's got things to work on, but he's going to be, wide receiver one. DeAndre Moore, recovering from whatever his ailment was, what you get with him. But if we didn't hear anything good about any of the other receivers, it'd kind of be like, what's going on here? And we already knew that Texas was probably going to be interested in a wide receiver in the portal anyway this upcoming window, and they probably still are. But for the fact that Parker Livingstone, somebody is stepping up, somebody is making it so, okay, you can play this fourth wide receiver and not have to really worry about a big step down on the field, that's critically important. I think for the Longhorns passing offense and for Parker himself, just for being able to get his opportunity and make the most of it pretty early on in his career.
I think too, you don't want to have to rely on one of these freshman wide receivers like Daylon McCutcheon, Jamie French, or Kalik Lockett. Obviously, there are exceptions to that where you can't keep someone off the field, like in the case of Xavier Worthy in 2021 or Ryan Williams or Jeremiah Smith last year at Alabama or in Ohio State, respectively. But you want those guys to be able to marinate for a while, learn the offense, and when they do come in, allow it to be in spots where they can really be almost playmaking pieces in a way how we saw Ryan Wingo used at the beginning of last season. Like you think of that reverse in the Michigan game, in moments like that, before Texas's wide receiver depth, with Isaiah Bond being banged up, Jonte Cook leaving the program, really took a hit, and where you really needed on Ryan Wing, you don't want to have to lean on a freshman wide receiver deep into a playoff run like they had to lean on Ryan Wingo last year.
Exactly. And moving to the defensive side of the ball, one of the guys that we heard a lot of good things about from Pro Day is Jelani McDonald. And I think we've all seen his athleticism shine on special teams. But we saw it shine a lot last year when they went to a larger nickel package. Like they wanted to have some bulk and some athleticism against some of the heavier offenses. Michigan comes to mind, even Clemson for a little while. But he's someone that moves all over. And you could tell when Andrew Makuba was talking about him, he's like, man, they got number four out there. Number four is looking good again. A truly versatile piece. And another guy who is not necessarily like replacing, obviously, Andrew Makuba. Like he is playing that position. He's coming in and you know, using and filling in for a lot of those snaps, also playing a good amount of star. But this is a veteran, someone who's experienced. I think this is his third year entering this season. This is a guy who's played a good amount of football. And that's the perfect type of player that you want to have step up. And it sounds like he's done so early.
Yeah, Joe, I'm wondering if Jelani McDonald can be what we should have gotten with DeMarvian Overshone, if not for severe roster mismanagement and program mismanagement that really forced him to have to move to linebacker when he was kind of playing undersized there. Obviously, killing it in the NFL. Best luck to Demo coming back from his injury with the Cowboys. But I really think Jelani being able to be utilized everywhere is super exciting because I know preseason last year, a Texas legend that I got a chance to speak to said, hey, this is the guy you have to watch out for. He is a superstar in the making. And obviously he had a lot of veterans ahead of him and Andrew Makuba and Michael Taft. So it was, you know, tough to crack the depth chart last year. He was relied on a little bit more towards the end of the year when Derek Williams got hurt, obviously had that amazing Superman interception against Kentucky. But you know, when we were at Pro Day last week and we got to speak to some of the departing Longhorns, like you mentioned, Andrew Makuba, but also Jahdae Barron, and then a current Longhorn, Michael Taft, all spoke of Jelani McDonald as being, hey, this is the guy you got to watch out for. So those glowing returns and those glowing praises from someone's teammates are obviously what you want to hear.
The last guy that I want to touch on is DJ Campbell. He was, you know, he is the only returning starter. And I know someone like Cole Hudson has played a lot of football. Trevor Goosby got some action late. And, you know, even someone like Connor Robertson has played in some meaningful games. But DJ Campbell is the only, when you think of the Phil Steele definition, he's the only returning starter. And we've heard that he's stepped up in leadership. He's also stepped up in his game. It's been hit or miss for a few years, but you see some great flashes and some great stretches of play from DJ. And that's really exciting as he enters a season where, you know, he's trying to join guys like Kelvin Banks and Cam Williams in the NFL draft. He's trying to help guys like Neto Umunozulu and Cole Hudson get to that point as well. And it's really, I think, an exciting development to hear that DJ Campbell here in his fourth year, which is hard to believe, is making a lot of progress in leadership and in his play.
Yeah, he's obviously that mauler type that you can hopefully count on to get a push off of your offensive line. I saw DJ Campbell last week without pads on. He looked, you know, very long, very strong, that he's like, you know, has really good weight right now. And you obviously need that level of experience. And the guards in Sark's offense and Kyle Flood's offense are asked to do a lot. They're a big part in identifying protections. So though the Phil Steele definition might be a little misleading with how much they had to rely on Trevor Goosby and Cole Hudson in the past year, you know, you still obviously are lacking starts, even though you might have more experience than it looks like on paper. But I thought it was encouraging that Jake Majors brought up Neto Umeozulu in the pro day media availability afterwards, because, you know, he said what all the fans were have been thinking, that we've been waiting on Neto for a while and he thinks it's time.
Any other guys to hit on that we missed out on that are, you know, kind of starting to make some noise, all the different cliches, make noise, turn heads, gain eyeballs?
I wrote an article about this last week and I observed it firsthand, and Evan Beath and I talked about it in our first practice reaction last week. But obviously you can tell by the way that Coach Jeff Banks is coaching Jordan Washington that, hey, this guy is someone that the team is relying on a lot. They have really big expectations for this dude. It reminded me of your reporting back in the day of how Coach Jeff Banks really coached Jatavion Sanders as he was learning the tight end position. So, you know, Jeff Banks, Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian have all said multiple times in the past, after quarterback, tight end is the most important position in their offense. And you obviously saw that the past 3 years with Sanders and Gunnar Helm were relied on huge. So they really cannot afford a dip in production from the tight end position. And man, I saw Jeff Banks getting after Jordan Washington. He was making him do reps 2 to 3 times more than other guys. But obviously he was quick to dole out praise when Jordan Washington, you know, used his physicality and used his size. And then I thought when we got to see a little bit of route running and connections with the quarterbacks, I thought Jordan Washington, you know, I thought he displayed good hands, good running ability. So he's exciting.
Lots of guys to track over on Inside Texas. Well, before we keep going, got to show some love to one of our sponsors. That is Laura Baker.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
Thank you, LC. One of the other big takeaways that we've gotten over the past few days and over the first few days of practice is that linebacker is going to be in good shape this year. And that's a positive thing, not just for Johnny Nansen, but for Pete Kwiatkowski. You've got Anthony Hill, and all the things that we've heard about Anthony Hill is, don't worry about Anthony Hill. Like, this is, if everything goes according to plan, this guy's going to be an All-American again. He's probably going to be on some award watch lists and award finalists, and he's going to be heading to the NFL after 3 years, and deservedly so. But he can't do it by himself, and we've heard good things, not just from the guy who played by him a lot last year, but also a guy who is new to that position, and then also someone who's even new to Texas too.
Yeah, so I was a little nervous about the linebacker rotation until we really started hearing practice reports. And, you know, you just think about the fact that even though we have guys like Anthony Hill and Leongo LaFalle, you're losing a lot of experience like Mo Blackwell and David Benda, guys who had a lot of years in the program under their belt. And I was like, man, are we losing someone at defensive end or edge and Trey Moore, who really came on at the beginning of the season, and moving them to linebacker out of necessity? But I think the heart behind it is more, let's put weapons all over the field and let's get packages together where we can create absolute chaos by being able to deploy a defense where Anthony Hill, Colin Simmons, and Trey Moore are all lined up in various places on the field. And that, and even throw in somebody that we mentioned earlier, like Jelani McDonald, like that is a lot of athleticism. And then you're supplementing it with experience and guys who have really high floors, like a Brad Spence, the transfer from Arkansas. Obviously, you know, you have some highly touted recruits like Bo Barnes as well, and Ty Anthony Smith, that'll contribute to the linebacker room. But I think Trey Moore is really move to the position to get some more stuff on tape, so show some more versatility for the NFL, and just be deployed as a weapon that can hopefully create chaos for Pete Kwiatkowski's defense.
Yeah, Trey Moore, his size, not going to be an edge at the NFL. He's very, you know, usable in college at that and very good at it. And he still could probably be used in that role at some point. But he's got the skill set and the size and kind of the movement ability to still play in the weak side linebacker spot. And something I think the earlier video touched on is that you can apply different skill sets for different opponents. Like Leonga Lefau is someone who I trust him playing in the pass game about as much as any linebacker. Just dating back to his high school film, you could see even playing in Hawaii, you weren't going up against you weren't going up against a bunch of veer teams in Hawaii. They were playing like real passing offenses, and he was taking drops. He was getting into coverage, and he was doing great things. It was always, could he hold up in the run? Well, if you don't think that his skill set is applicable for that week's opponent, boom, there's Trey Moore, and you can bring him in there, make use of his 235-ish pound frame, and definitely be able to, you know, alongside Anthony Hill, stuff things up in the run game a little bit. So it is encouraging. And then the guys you mentioned, like Brad Spence, when Anthony Hill comes off the field and you need someone to step in, Brad Spence is as good as you could ask for. Bo Barnes is someone who's got a very, very bright future, came in as a on-3 5 star. And then Ty Anthony Smith, like that's five guys where sometimes we've been talking in the past about Texas doesn't even have two. So it's very encouraging for a linebacker to be in that good of a shape. And then, like you said, the versatility, if you have Trey Moore on the field at one linebacker spot, well, that means Colin Simmons is on the field and you can move those guys around, do different things. I know you want Colin Simmons going forward more often than you want him taking drops, but like you can mess with some offensive lines rules and blocking schemes by having those guys very versatile, be able to move about the formation. So anything else on linebacker? Are you ready to talk about some of the guys who performed at Pro Day?
Let's do it.
We can talk about Jaden Blue having a, you know, groin issue at the combine and getting a chance to perform all healthy. We can talk about Jahdae Barron really solidifying first round status. Same with Matthew Golden, who looked great in his routes. Same with Kelvin Banks, who did a fine job in his drills. Gunnar Helm, you know, he had the chance to perform after rolling his ankle at the combine. And then you even had some guys like Isaiah Bond get to run and make use of his and show off his speed. Quinn Ewers throwing, obviously, all the accolades that he had and all the things that he felt like he needed to prove to go and throw and have a good day. But there was one common thread for you throughout this pro day in that for a lot of these guys, they may not wear the Longhorn logo again.
Yeah. So I thought it was just really special, really cool that in the pro day, you got to see the 2024 team be a team one last time and really compete one last time together. And that's talking Longhorns who are going to the draft here in about a month and Longhorns who are sticking around in Austin, guys like who we've mentioned, Anthony Hill, Colin Simmons, Cedric Baxter, were Jalen Gilbo, Derek Williams, were all folks in our near proximity at the pro day. You had former guys like Roshan Johnson there taking in everything as well. Legends, obviously, like Quandre Diggs and Derek Johnson there to show support. But I thought just being able to see the 2024 team gathered together, all cheering on maybe some guys who didn't get invited to the combine, like Mo Blackwell and David Benda and Gavin Holmes, who I thought performed really well at their pro day, and really cheering those guys on. Bill Norton, another example. And it was awesome hearing them throw out their nicknames, laugh at one another, encourage each other, get hyped together. And it was just one last look of like, man, this really is the last time this 2024 team, huge swaths to the 2023 team that really did so much for this program and Steve Sarkisian's team, just to watch them compete together again. And I thought that was really cool as a spectator and as a fan, being able to take that in, because those guys are not all going to compete together. They might be on the field someday as if we, you know, honor the 2023 Big 12 champions 10, 20 years from now. That's something that probably should happen, but they won't be competing. So I think being able to see them together, and then you have Jahdae Barron. I commented to you at one point, like, Jahdae seems like he keeps adding layers or changing his clothes every time we look out after him. And then at one point, he wasn't wearing the pro day attire, and he's wearing a long sleeve, kind of baggy orange shirt, Longhorn shirt. And then, of course, when he delivers a sermon like only Jahdae can in the media availability afterwards, he's like, I didn't wear the pro day attire because I wanted to compete and burn orange one last time. And man, if that doesn't get the orange Kool-Aid flowing through your veins, nothing will.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think that's something that sometimes is very often overlooked. All these guys' dreams, I mean, they put in the work to be physically ready to go through this combine, to go through this pro day. Their dreams are to play in the NFL. It's the pinnacle of football. You know, there is nothing above the NFL. But at the same time, like, there's very few instances in the NFL, maybe even a handful, where there's something that has such an emotional connection like college football has. Like, this is, for a lot of these guys, this is their state. This is their city. At the very least, it's their school. And so for them to have that emotional connection, it can exist in the NFL, but it's almost unique to college football, that emotional connection that players have. Because, okay, yeah, I know you can transfer, I know you can do all that, but like, you at this point, like, you pick your school. The team drafts you whenever you start, you know, your NFL career. You pick your school, whether you're a high school freshman or a guy entering the portal. So there is that emotional connection. And like you said, it's something I'm sure that applies to even high school players when they go off to college and stuff like that. You know, you win a state championship with your friends. That's something you're never going to be able to do again. You're not going to be able to compete with your community like that ever again after you go to college. You're not going to be able to compete with your school, with your classmates, with your teammates like that again until once you leave for the NFL. And I think that's something that could be overlooked very often, but I'm glad that not only Jahdae very much brought that to light, but you brought that to light as well. And that's why you see all these players. That's why there's a Letterman Lounge. That's why there's a T Association. So whatever way they can replicate that camaraderie still exists for them. And even so, like, I picked up a tidbit at Pro Day that Jermaine Lole, who, you know, Texas was his third school, he's going to be sticking around and be a GA for the Longhorn football program because he wasn't. I was like, why isn't Jermaine going through Pro Day? And I figured out that he's going to end up being a GA. 7 years was enough football for him. So even that kind of shows, like, hey, like, I want to stick around the game. I want to stick around with the team. We've seen other Longhorns do that, and it's pretty cool that. Just another example of why college football is special, why Texas football is special.
Yeah, and I think you see that Sark is building a special culture with the camaraderie, with, even though he won two national championships for the Georgia Bulldogs, you had Indianapolis Colts wide receiver A.D. Mitchell taking in Pro Day alongside Jordan Winnington and some other, you know, current pro players. So I think that's special. That he was only in Austin for 1 year. He obviously is from Texas, but I think that speaks volumes too.
Before we finish out, got to show some love to our other sponsor. That is David McClellan.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor, and I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a 1 hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Last but certainly not least, hey, we're not going to talk about Texas A&M baseball in this segment, even though we very well could. after they, you know, lost another series, dipped below 500, so on and so forth. We won't take too much time to shed light on that. You know, speaking of taking up too much time, just go ask Kentucky baseball. But this week, Schadenfreude of the Week has a little personal flavor for you, RT.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were talking about Pro Day and, you know, getting some time to hear from Jahdae Barron. It was obviously at the bubble, as it's called on UT's campus. And so first, I'm going to say that the bubble should not have revolving doors as their only way to get in and out of that thing.
That's the problem, because of the pressure differential. That's how it stays up.
Yeah, but how do you have a guy like Cam Williams, when he's fully padded, going through a revolving door like it's a hotel? It's not the DoubleTree, you know. So it just shows you need to get through the bubble era in Austin. We need that new practice facility built ASAP, so we're not having to, you know, have the revolving doors. But the Schadenfreude of the week is directed at myself, because after we got to hear from Michael Taff, we were leaving. And, you know, I'm going through the revolving door. I didn't think that anyone was going to get in my same section of the revolving door. So I pushed it pretty hard to get out of there. And I turn around because I hear, and I almost either crushed or ended the 2025 season before it even started, because I almost crushed Michael Taff in the meat grinder. That is that revolving door of the bubble. So I shook his hand, told him sorry. I was like, you know, you don't know how bad I would have felt had I injured Michael Taff and ruined the season before it started. I would have just gone and dug a hole in my backyard and buried myself in it and maybe never came out. So I'm glad that Michael's obviously okay, that we had a good laugh, but there's no Schadenfreude of the week, you know, that should be given other than to myself. So you can take pleasure in my pain all you want, but I definitely, I looked at my watch afterwards, and I think my heart went up to about 175. So beats per minute. Yeah, I was definitely pretty nervous after that.
It's one of those things, you know, how the legend goes with John Wooden about the first thing you do every practice was first practice of the year would teach how to tie shoes. Cause like, you know what, you may not know somebody, you may not know if somebody doesn't know how to do it right or not. For Texas football players, it should be how to go through those revolving doors at the bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to get rid of those things. But obviously I should have been looking behind me to make sure, hey, it's a key contributor, one of the star players of the football team for this upcoming season, trying to get in the same section as me. Okay. I'm all clear. It's like holding your hands with your children before you walk the street.
Exactly. Another good edition of The Reheat. Thank you for watching this video. Make sure you like the video and you subscribe to the channel. And of course, if you have not done so already, head to InsideTexas.com. You can sign up for 4 months and pay just $1 to get that 4 months of access. Spring football, recruiting, all the different insider info you can only find on Inside Texas. Sign up today. RT, thank you so much. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.